Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Don and Wynn Show, Saturday night, and I hope you've got somebody. My name is Wynn Free, and my co-host, Don Newsome, with all the news that fits, or all the news that creates fits. Hey, Don.
Well, hello, folks. It's good to be back once again. Thank you, Wynn. Pleasure to be here. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Excellent. Well, can you hear me okay?
I can. I can hear you. Excellent. Are you doing something different?
A little bit different.
I'm telling you, for the past 2 months, apparently it doesn't go like this over the air, but you sound like gravel over the phone.
I understand. Well, okay. Hopefully now we get that all cleared up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my friend.
Don, my friend.
You know, I'll tell you, I see so much weirdness out there, and of course our elections and all the fiascos going on, but again, the worse things get, somehow the better I feel. Now, that I know that sounds so strange.
Now maybe that, I don't know if that's on your behalf or not, but I don't know.
Maybe, but the worse things get, the better I feel. It just seems somehow that I look so forward to the challenges, to the change.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even challenges anymore. It's more change. It's rough all the time. All right. Let it ride. It just seems to me that the difficulty should be embraced. The action should be taken. And I'm just living in a very, I guess you'd have to say, in a very happy moment, because the more I see, the more I know the change is coming. And it feels almost imminent, doesn't it?
Well, that's what we hear. It's pretty imminent.
Imminent. Yeah. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, imminence. it might not be right around this next corner, but soon. I mean, who knows the timetables on these things, but definitely the feeling of something grand is right on the verge. It has been that way for years, but it seems to get more immediate, more intense, more, I don't know. Could be a lot of factors, but I'm enjoying it. How about you?
Pardon me?
Aren't you enjoying it?
Well, I wouldn't use the word enjoying it. I'm preparing for it. I enjoy the day, not enjoying the change, but enjoying the day, enjoying the process, enjoying where I'm at, moment to moment.
Well, you're doing the same thing then.
Yeah, enjoying
the change.
You know, I think this is a period, just from my perspective, that it's very important for people to make some really good friends. This is the time to have good friends in your neighborhood. People that you have really honest relationships with, preferably that reach into spiritual realms, but, you know, the word spiritual is a loaded question, so if it's from your heart, it's spiritual.
Well, if we were supposed to be totally spiritual here on Earth, then why do we come here?
You know what? Everything is spiritual.
Exactly. See, that's the thing, but you're in a physical...
Spiritual is a buzzword. You know, every time you use vocabulary, it becomes like, well, what you mean by that word might be different from what I mean by that word. You know, so...
Yeah, we've gotten way too hooked up on words in this society, haven't we?
Yeah. But when I say the word spiritual, you know what the I Ching is, Don? Did you ever do the I Ching?
You know, I've done the toga.
The what?
Toga.
Toga?
Of course, no.
I'm not sure what that is.
A toga. I've done the toga.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, the I Ching is a book of, they call it Chinese divination, but it is really...
Oh, is
really
that where they get your Chang from?
I'm losing you now.
Is that where they would get your Chang? Chang?
No, I hear you, but you're getting distorted. You turn the volume down, I think.
Oh, maybe. No, I don't know. Hey, well, let's try something. How's that? Is that better?
That's a little better.
A little better? Hold on. Yeah. How's that?
Yeah, I think when you start getting excited, then it gets fuzzy.
Yeah, that happens when I get excited.
Yeah, okay. Well, the I Ching, let's call it a book of divination, but actually, it's a book of immense wisdom. I remember reading it when I was young, 25 years ago, and it's like I said, man, whoever put this together understands some big patterns in the universe. So they had something called holding together. It's made of 64 what they call hexagrams, and you would either flip coins, or there was a way of deciding if you asked a question, if your consciousness went to a question, which hexagram you would be supposed to be reading.
Really?
And there was a hexagram called holding together, and it was very interesting. Listen to this carefully, because this to me, when I made the comment spiritual, this defines for me what I meant. And what it said was, people can hold together for a variety of reasons. And when there's a common interest, people hold together. And then it said, even thieves can have really great energy holding together. But when the common interest falls apart, so does the holding together. And that only the interest that, I'm trying to remember exactly the words they use, only things that are based on inner truth, things that go beyond this realm that exist outside of common interests for a higher purpose last for eternity. That's the way it was put. So when I say spiritual, I mean relationships that go beyond common interests. You know, if common interests would mean we need survival, we need to earn a living, we need jobs, we need someone to make love to, you know, we make relationships based on common interests, and when the common interest falls apart, the relationship falls apart so often. So what is spiritual is a relationship that's based on something higher than just a common shared interest. So that's what I mean by the word spiritual. That's as good an explanation in the I Ching as I think I would ever look for. So the key is striving to make relationships with other people. It's not easy. It's not easy. Where do you start? How do you make relationships that are not on common interest?
It's a lot like harmonizing with the outside, isn't it? By bringing out the inside.
You know, oftentimes the relationships that are like that come through synchronicity. They come through accidental meetings, through something that is totally unplanned. Because usually when you have an intention, your intention will attract somebody based on a common interest. Like, God, I need to have friends in my town so if things fall apart, I have people to turn to. Even that is a common interest. It's not spiritual. I mean, of course, everything is spiritual, but I mean...
Well, all matter is spiritual. I mean, it's a spiritual matter to begin with.
In terms of a relationship that transcends this level... See, if you have a connection with somebody that transcends this level, that transcends the common interest, then you can go back and have common interests, and you do them much better because the relationship is based on something outside of the common interest, okay?
Yeah, that seems too complex for me. I like to simplify things.
Okay.
I love that. I mean, I've got books of Osho, Yogananda, and I mean every kind of grandmaster telling me the long road. I love long roads. Mm-hmm. I've been down a few of them. Mm-hmm. The more complex it gets now, I realize the more the question just keeps, the more the answer just keeps repeating itself over and over and over, like the, you know, the on and off of a computer. You know, 010101, just repeating the answer over and over till it gets so complex we actually don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, And I apologize to you, and thank you. We've had a wonderful conversation earlier, folks, but I didn't let Wynn know about the new guest that we were going to have today, and I apologize, Wynn. It was a little last notice, and I tried to get in touch with you, and I informed our guest that I would have him on the show, and, well, anyways, you know the drill. I apologize. Well, this...
We'll go with the flow.
Go with the flow. Thank you. Well, this individual is an individual that I've listened to a few times. His name is Phil Koseski, and he actually knows... he's been on James' show. If anybody's listened to As You Wish with James Gilliland, Phil's been on that show. But he knows a little about a hot UFO topic that seems to be a mainstay on the internet these days. And so I'm going to introduce, he's a UFO researcher, folks. This is what he does. He spends his time researching UFOs. I think you're going to find today quite an interesting journey. So stick around with us. Phil?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
Good evening. Pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Do you know each other, Wynn, Phil?
No, I don't think we do. Hi, Wynn.
Winfrey?
I am here. Sorry, I had myself on mute. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Wynn. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So you're an expert on UFOs.
Well, I wouldn't. I just started doing this, researching UFOs for about a year now, so I'm brand new at this. But my success... what I'm doing is pretty astounding to me, actually.
UFO researcher, not expert.
Yeah, I guess you could ask me a question and I might have a good answer for you.
So, what did you talk about in James's show?
Well, James interviewed me about he had me up on his show as a title. He had me up as a Pine Bush, New York contactee, meaning that I've gone back to Pine Bush, New York after a 14-year hiatus, I guess you could say. I just never got back there. But how this all started for me actually was 14 years ago in July 1993 when a friend and I, after reading a book titled Silent Invasion by Ellen Crystal, who was also... I think she was actually the first UFO researcher on the Pine Bush UFO sightings out there. So anyway, I read her book, became incredibly enthused about what I heard and about her sightings and everything. So a friend and I took a trip out there in July 1993, went out there and we started seeing lights in the sky and we saw one light that popped up above these farm fields just above the tree line. And this light was very unusual because it was only like 25 feet above the trees, and it just stood there stationary, and it looked like a concentric ring, and it was orange and red and really fiery looking, and it was pulsating really intense, on and off, and then it had another ring of purplish white light around it, and that also was pulsing on and off, and we were just amazed and dumbfounded when we saw this, and we were just awestruck, completely stunned at this and captivated at this light that was just hanging there stationary. And we started to videotape it, but unfortunately we only had like 3 minutes. We could only get a three-minute clip of it because our videotape ran out. Our tape ran out because we were videotaping other things during the rest of the night, other sightings and various things. But this light stood there stationary for like 10 minutes, and we were just amazed, and then it finally disappeared, and then later on, we drove around to other hot spots areas around Pine Bush and Watt Hill, another township which is adjacent to Pine Bush, and as we were driving along the road, I saw another sighting. I was riding on the passenger side, and I suddenly saw rise up out of another farm field. I saw this diamond-shaped illuminated craft. It looked like a shape of a diamond shape, and it was all fluorescent white. It was all glittering It was like a diamond. It was like white fireworks inside of a crystal. That's probably the best way I could describe it. And the thing just shot straight up into the sky. I saw it for about 7 seconds, but it was the most amazing sighting, UFO sighting probably I've ever seen up that close. It couldn't have been more than 100 yards away. And it made no sound as it shot straight up into the night sky.
Did you get it on video?
No, because I saw it for like 7 seconds. We had no time to stop and get out of the car and videotape that sighting. But that really, really convinced both of us after we saw those two sightings that first night we went out there. We were convinced of that what we saw was definitely extraterrestrial, was something of unearthly origin. And so we went away from that trip very, very pleased, as well as convinced that something extraterrestrial is going on in Pine Bush.
So basically, you're thinking that something's not, well, the way you stated it is, you're thinking something is going on. Now, to me, that means it's happening now.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's still going on, and now we're getting back to the point where I took my return trip out to Pine Bush after 14 years, which happened. I've always had it over in my back of my mind for like the past several years to make a return trip out there, but I just never got around to it until last year. And so finally I went out there last year, which was at the end of July, 2007. And I went back out, and I got out there. I was out there alone, driving around. Pine Bush is really wonderful. It's kind of like being in the Southwest desert because there's hardly any streetlights out there. And when you're driving around, it's like driving in outer space. Everything's pitch black and dark. And so you can really get it.
I love that. I love that. Like driving down those empty desert highways.
It's really wild, isn't it? And it affords one such a great panoramic expanse of the sky that you wouldn't get if there wasn't any lights, you know? And so, so I drove around and I'm out on this one, road called, what was the name of this road? It slips my mind right now. Anyway, it's surrounded by very large cow pastures and farm fields on either side. Pine Bush is just a lovely little old country farm town, you know, maybe a population of about 1,800. And it's just wonderful. It's quiet. And there's lots of open space. So anyway, I'm driving out there, and I'm parked. I parked in the middle of the road because I started seeing these lights on the horizon, and I knew they were UFO craft, because they were different than airplane lights, because they were much larger. They're shimmering orange lights. Then you can tell these are UFOs because they shimmer a very intense orange light. And they were just kind of like hovering on the horizon, maybe a couple, 3 miles away or something. So I was just amazed when I saw that. So I immediately got my video stuff out, and so I decided to talk to the craft. These craft in my head, there was two of them, and I said, okay, I said, if you guys, you aliens are the same ones that I saw like 14 years ago, if you're the same type of aliens, I said, why don't you come over here where I am? And immediately one craft darted off to the south and went out of the picture, and the other craft just stood there, and then it slowly started coming towards me. So I thought it heard me. And it kept coming, it kept coming over, and then it stopped about maybe a quarter to a half a mile away from where I was parked in the road. It stopped in midair, and I zoomed in on it in my camcorder, and I saw this incredible ring of magnetic light. It was like a ring of light, and it was displaying all this intense magnetic field properties of light rays going back and forth. And then to my amazement, this ring separated into another ring, and it produced two rings of light, and they had this intense interplay between the rings of light. You could see these magnetic waves, like heat waves or something, like that you see in the summertime rising off the pavement, you know, like transparent heat waves. And I saw this, and immediately I started to try to film it with my camcorder, but my camcorder malfunctioned, unfortunately for me. I screwed something up in the memory of the camcorder.
Do you think you screwed it up, or you think it just happened? And sometimes, you know, when this kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, they do it. Yeah,
electrical disturbances.
Yeah, yeah. No, this time I definitely touched something. I'm such a novice at all of everything with camcorders now. I'm finally learning how.
Hey, what state is Pineville in?
New York State.
New York State.
Like the southeast part of New York State, right up, like maybe 30 miles to the west of the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, very awesome. That really discouraged me when I found out that I couldn't film it, but I did get to see it, and I saw several other things, and I drove around that night, and I saw many other sightings, and I just wrote everything down. And then I went, and then I came home after this trip. It was like a two-day trip. I came back. It was like the end of July. And then, like a couple days later after I came back, I was in deep meditation, just meditating and thinking about my experiences. And all of a sudden, I started hearing voices in my head, or one voice in my head, announcing to me that she was a pilot and that her name was Abena, and that she was one of the pilots that was in the Triangle craft. I mean, these UFOs that I saw in Pine Bush the night that I was out there. And she told me that her name was Abena, and that she wanted me to know that she was one of these pilots, and she wanted me to know that they look like us, her and her race, and that they come from the Orion stars, and that their ancestors were on Earth anciently, and they helped built the Great Pyramid complex of Giza and the Sphinx and all this kind of thing. And she told me to prepare, because she was going to be making close contacts with me. And she told me to learn how to practice a form of meditation like TM, or Transcendental Meditation, because she said by doing this it would make our contacts easier. And she said, if I didn't do this, and I didn't prepare, and I didn't learn how to do this type of meditation, no close contacts could happen at all. And she said, it has to be this way, because she said, our brainwaves resonance derives from states of deep meditation like TM. And she went, so it's all... It was like she was instructing me what to do and everything. And then she made a prediction, and she said, the next time that you come back to Pine Bush, I'm going to perform some aerial movements for you in my craft so you can get on video, and you know that what I'm telling you is no figment of your imagination. I'm really communicating with you by telepathy. And she says, although it may sound like it's your own mind and it's like your own imagination, it really isn't. And she says, soon you'll be able to verify that what I'm telling you is real, because I am going to be making close contact with you, and I am going to perform these aerial movements for you to capture. And so immediately when I wrote all this down, and I just pondered over it, and it made sense. And so I made a trip back to Pine Bush a month after that, because she made this prediction. So that brings us up to September, okay? You guys got any other questions in between? You want me to just keep explaining it, or?
No.
Keep going?
I'll tell you, I'm just fascinated. I'm engrossed. You got me at hello.
Yeah. Okay, so here we... I made my return trip, my plans, I booked my hotel, I went back out a month later, it was like September 5th and 6th, I made this trip out, and it was kind of like, this was a documentary trip, and I made sure my camcorder was going to work this time, and I got a nice camcorder, made sure it was going to work. So I got out there, and I started visiting areas in Pine Bush where there's several areas in Pine Bush where there are very high incidences of the UFO activity for some reason. And one of them seems to be in an area of about maybe 2 by 2.5 miles by 2.5 miles. It consists of four roads, West Searsville Road, South Searsville Road, Hill Avenue, and Albany Post Road. And right within that two by two and a half square mile strip, there's an old, in back of this dairy farm, there's a dairy farm there, and in back of it, there's an old ancient Indian burial mound that's reputed to be over 600 years old. And I went out, I got permission to go out there by the dairy farmer. So I went out there and looked around. I snapped a bunch of pictures and heard a bunch of rumbling in the sky, but I saw no airplanes or any kind of craft in the sky, but I heard like tremendous thundering in the sky when I walked back out there. It was in daytime. And I snapped a bunch of pictures. And later on, when I got those pictures developed, I saw something that looked like a triangle. It was a gray, dark gray shaped triangle type of a craft up in the sky over the Indian burial mound. And I wasn't there when I took the pictures, but it clearly got developed later on. And that what also was amazing was that in a lot of the other pictures I snapped, in the sky, you can see a bunch of dots that, the only thing I can think, they look like blue, gray, orbs, you know those pictures of orbs and everything, right? And so the sky was literally covered with all these orbs, and they were in the shape of like a diamond.
And came right in on the pictures.
Yeah, hundreds of them. Hundreds of, like, the whole sky was just filled with them. But they were kind of faint, but they were not faint enough that you couldn't make them out, but you can definitely make them out.
Right.
And so I did a lot of research on that to kind of figure out what it was, and I think they were kind of like biophotons or some kind of photons, and they had to do with the area there. But anyway, other UFO researchers like Ellen Crystal, Bruce Cornett, and some of these other people that have done a lot of research out there too, they have spent literally years out there and thousands of dollars.
And they don't get as much information as you.
Well, they, in some respects they did. But what I was going to say was that they...
What interests me is the fact that obviously there is an entity that has communicated with you and wanted to show you proof, and you were able to gather it.
Absolutely.
Now,
and it was amazing.
That's contactee. That's a contactee.
That's
in my opinion.
Right. I wasn't really going out there to. I was open to the idea, but mostly I was just going back out there to just see if I could see things again. I didn't have it in my mind that they were going to contact me and want to contact me.
Well, you know, it's to spread the message far and wide, I think, that they are way beyond us. Well, look, dualistic thinking, good, bad, all the wonderful things that create disharmony isn't what they're about. And so they're here to show us that in the very fact that they've been here forever. They're in our documentation. They're still around, only now we have hopefully, as a human family, we've grown up enough that, you know, there will be a homecoming where we actually realize that we are part of that galactic family and we can be that way. But until people wake up to that aspect, really, that harmony, I think it's going to elude us. Now, I don't know what that means for the future. Again, I think my own personal feelings are that there's been more written about UFOs than there has God.
Yes.
Every ancient document, manuscript, hieroglyph, I mean, you name it.
You know, that's interesting you say that, especially hieroglyph, because I did some research on, I saw some ancient depictions, motifs, and stuff on Egyptian.
Sure, God came later almost.
And you know what I saw in one of these ancient Egyptian, motif It showed all these, like, Egyptian figures and everything.
Oh,
and
sure.
It showed a little gray alien there, and I was completely stunned.
Sure.
When I saw
humans
that.
Are, I think, a manufactured, like most races, eventually. I mean, we were seeded, our genetics, we grew up. God is an eternal thing, but really UFOs have been spoken about way before religions.
Oh, right.
They're
mentioned in the Bible, actually.
Right, before, in fact, that's what I'm trying to say. If you take all these ancient descriptions and put them all together, they usually have the one thing in common. They all talk about UFOs. Maybe not God, but UFOs. So I'm thinking, with what's going on these days and the Mayan calendar, and my own research into that, I believe that 2012 is that homecoming. Homecoming. That's really all it is. I know that sounds strange. I don't know.
I believe I think that's partly correct there, and I think there's other factors.
Yeah, they're here. They've been around. They're going around us. They've been walking and talking among us. They intermingle. They have, some of them do, some of them don't. It's been that way for a very long time.
Oh, yeah. They're here to help us a lot, at least the good ones.
Right.
Hey, Don?
Mm-hmm.
I got a question.
But I think our homecoming is 2012, where people realize they really are an integral part of a universe.
How do you know they're positive? Mm-hmm. So how do you know that? I mean,
well,
you have to leave that.
You don't, you can know, how do you know anything? I know by how I feel about it. Okay? Now that's how I truly know.
That's
but
a
beyond,
good point.
Right. But beyond that, my own research into people who've been abducted and people who haven't and people who've communicated and channelers and ufologists and researchers, not once have I found anything negative except for where, like, this Aurora Project. Now, think on this. The Aurora Project has to do with the government fleet of UFOs, right? Well, if you don't believe me, check the cat mutilations that are going on in Colorado. What? Where in Colorado? Aurora. Well, you know, that's a psychological thing that these Illuminati like to do. Again, it should lead you from A to B. Regardless of that, most of the fear has been propagated by our own people and by, I would say, negative terrestrials that maybe used to be extraterrestrials, like grays that may inhabit areas or maybe are communicating out there. Maybe, look, there's good and bad in everything,
that's
folks.
That's right, that's right.
You, I can't lump them all together and judge them, even if I judge them as good.
Yep.
You know, it's not... We celebrate each other's uniqueness and diversity. So again, there are all different types, but predominantly here and now, with all the feelings I get and all the readings I read and all the meditations I do and all the good warmth I get that's so profound and so deep all over the media and internet and the like, I would have to say, it pretends of something magically beautiful and not even close to negative, unless you're going to Sherry Shiner Radio.
Mm, yeah.
Now, there you go.
I've heard of her.
That's my take on the matter.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. And, you know, there is an infinite variety of aliens, just like there's an infinite, like almost an infinite
Absolutely.
Variety.
Absolutely. I wouldn't want it any other way.
So there's many viewpoints.
Wouldn't want a million of me. It'd bore the heck out of me.
But to get back to my alien contacts, I mean, all right, so I went back out there on September 5th and 6th. Anyway, I went out there and saw these unusual anomalies around that Indian burial mound. Then came the nighttime.
That's interesting, the burial ground.
Yeah, it is. It's an ancient Indian thing. What I was going
to
say was
that
also,
cemetery kind of comes to mind as I'm thinking that.
That very area... At that burial mound was the exact place where we saw the UFO 14 years previously, that it rose up above the tree line. It was right around that Indian burial ground area. So we think, the theory is that the aliens somehow may have an interdimensional gateway, like a Stargate, interdimensional vortex or a grid point there in that area. And this is why they're there so often. Or they may have some kind of an underground installation there or something like this. This is part of the reason the theory's going on. of why they're there in the first place, but...
Well, we already... Here's the beauty. You know what I get excited about, Phil?
Yeah.
Here.
What's
you
that?
Ready for this?
Yeah.
Your government's already openly stating they exist all around the world. Okay, we got that out of the way. They're here.
Yeah.
Now, when you get over that, when you truly get over that, if you have to get over anything, when you truly integrate that and understand they're here, then you get the bigger picture. It starts to, you'll realize they've been here.
Absolutely.
And that this is a great awakening. The earth is awakening. We're awakening. They're here. Mm-hmm. They're becoming more and more known. And yet it's part of the awakening. They already, I mean, even your government, even Rockefeller stated in that famous statement, we're on the verge of a global transformation, and therefore it necessitates the formation of a new world global order. You know what I mean? I remember,
well,
I forget
absolutely.
The quote exactly, but he didn't say we're on the verge, all it would take is a natural catastrophe, some calamity or something to unite us under one global order. But I remember the words that he stated, we are in the midst of world transformation. That
right.
was his quote. He didn't say world calamity.
Right.
He said, world calamity needs to be created. If a world calamity was created or happened, excuse me, then it would unite, you know, under one global world order. But he basically stated there's no calamity about to happen, but that a global transformation is happening, and yet now's a narrow window of opportunity. That was part of the quote, where we can put the world under one globe, that where the world will accept. Now there's a key word, one global order. Maybe you gotta get, the key words was accept. That's why they're so open about it right now.
Hmm.
They wanna not only indoctrinate you, psychologically rape you, but desensitize you and make you aware that there is a new order.
Right.
It's not the fact that there's corruption all over the place, we know it. It's the fact that they're trying to say, in no uncertain terms, there is a new order.
Right.
Now, when you realize that, it makes perfect sense. Okay, there's a new order, I get it, they're trying to psychologically induce us to that fact, like our inoculations, but the beauty is, what's being stated by the godfather of the global order?
And
that is, there is a global transformation underway.
Good parallels evil. Right along the way.
Think he's saying just by virtue of the fact that the earth has changed its human resonance and that things are changing to such a great degree as far as psychically on this planet and genetically that I would almost hazard a guess he absolutely knows that the world is undergoing a global transformation.
Wonderful.
And, yeah.
And the aliens are playing a big part in it, but you wouldn't notice it because they're...
Exactly. Benevolent.
They're leaking out certain technological advancements, and it gets leaked out in a covert form, and it gets leaked out to, like, I just found out something called liquid metal, and it's being made out of three rare minerals that are found in only really two places on Earth. Get this now. These combination of minerals, zirconium, titanium, and beryllium, are really only found in two places in great quantities on Earth, and they are some small Asian country, which I don't know the name of, and then the other place. Now, guess where it is?
Oh.
Pine Bush, New York. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And these three minerals, these scientists at Caltech. Out there in California, they have discovered and formed a company called Liquid Metal. And they've formed liquid metal out of zirconium, beryllium, and titanium. And get this liquid metal, they can shape it into almost any form they want.
Hey, remind you of the Terminator? They've already got nanomites. You saw the last Stargate Atlantis?
Oh,
anybody?
Awesome,
anybody?
It?
Well, you know, we've already got self-replicating nano machines that actually feed off the biomass of our bodies, and then convert it into electricity, which allows them to replicate themselves. And
that stuff is alien.
There's nothing even magical about this. They're just working it in a minute level. Everybody thinks, God, this is so spacey. You know, I'll tell you, we got sick people out there with perverted minds that are in positions of
power.
And they are trying to psychologically and globally manifest their self
and rule over us. They want worship. They want to be worshipped.
Selfishness.
They want to be worshipped. These people.
Oh my goodness! Right there. Can you imagine that? We'll be right back, folks. We're gonna get them back. Apologize for that. That was interesting. All right, we're back.
So,
Phil,
did both of us get knocked off?
Pardon me? I think everybody got knocked off. We're good though, Phil.
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, you were telling us about this, this triangular area in the pine. Well,
okay. Let me try and bring this into a synopsis. So it's kind of brief and not, because I could go into hours for this. But, these craft that I've been filming out there are a triangular type shaped craft. And if anybody wants to take a look at my website, if you got the links up for it, they can go to my website and see a slideshow of some of the craft that I took over there.
It's on our index page, actually, folks. If you listen out there, go to bbsradio.com. It's right on the index right there.
So, these craft are basically triangular shaped, and they're a dark gray color, and they come in different sizes. Some of their larger ones can be close to 200 feet, 300-400 feet. There's different sizes, and then there's smaller ones, reconnaissance type craft, I like to call them, and they can be like maybe 25, 30 feet in diameter.
Sure.
And these craft are just amazing. And to put it mildly, I got some of the most incredible footage the last three times I was out at Pine Bush. And true to Abena's prediction, one of these girls from Alien Girl, who incidentally, she let me see her physically on October 31st when I went back to Pine Bush for my third trip out there.
Wow.
She beamed herself down. And she put herself, it was either a real vision or she beamed herself down. I think it was more, you know, these aliens are so advanced. They have the ability to remain in their craft above you.
And be seen.
They can absolutely
beam themselves right into your forehead.
They can create what is called like a holographic manifestation that looks totally real.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at something you see.
Right.
Yeah.
Tangible.
Yeah.
So I believe she did that. She created a holographic manifestation of herself in a car when I came out of, I went into a supermarket to get some granola bars for a snack. And I came back out and I all of a sudden saw this most incredible looking blonde sitting in this car. And she, as I got to my car, she looked right at me and she looked so out of place and her eyes were so oval shaped. Her eyes were very wide and oval-shaped. Her whole face was oval, kind of a wide oval-looking face. And she was the most beautiful, exotic-looking creature. And I wanted to go over and say something, but I felt kind of out of place doing it right then, you know. So I just got in my car amazed, but I knew it was her. I just felt everything in me telling me it was her, and she was letting me see her. She was letting me get acquainted with her. Because after all, she did tell me she was going to be making close contacts with me. And sure enough, she did. So, but she did, true to her prediction back in August, that when I got my first telepathic communication from her, she told me in my next trips out there, she was going to be performing some aerial movements for me to capture. And sure enough, the next four times I went out there, September, October, once in October, once in November, and once in December. Sure enough, her craft came around, and she performed the most incredible aerial movements that I got all on video right now, and I'm working to get some of these video up in the future on my website.
Let me guess. This contact is going to continue. You feel that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you feel that it won't be, I don't want to get into that, but it's going to lead to something greater, but it's up to you.
Absolutely. I can make it or break it.
Right.
Get a free will.
See, I know, doesn't that hurt when you know you're breaking it and you
right.
just can't, and you just know it's...
It does hurt. But that's the way the universe works.
It does.
Free will.
Yeah, I know.
And it's the only way we can grow, right?
I think that, you know, see, that when you really get it into yourself, it is.
It can be a painful process.
It really is, yeah. That's why they call it real reality, because it is going to come to your realness, your realness. And you'll deal with that.
Right, and it keeps us humble to know that we can make it or break it, and not realize that everything's, it's all predestined, it's just going to happen anyway, regardless of anything I'm going to do. That's a false doctrine.
That's right.
To believe that kind of teaching is totally false.
I agree.
Because it breeds pride and arrogance, that you think everything's already predestined and fixed, and you don't got
to
do anything.
Yeah, but here's the beauty. Go to the far side like me, and you know that one person can change the world.
Amen.
One person. Because... If all of it can change the world, one aspect of it can change it all. It can change it all.
That's right. So I want to remark a little more on some of the video. I'll tell you, some of the maneuvers she performed for me on the craft, if I might remark a little on this. She would come around in the craft, and I'd be seeing these lights, and they'd come around, shimmering, brilliant triangle craft, the lights, and then I'd zoom in on it, And the next thing you see this thing zigzagging back and forth faster than like light, zipping up and down, going around in circles, doing figure eights. At one point you see it jump down to the ground level, and then in like a split second it goes back over itself, and it goes down over the tree line, and then it comes back and bounces back into the picture at the ground level again. And I got this on video. It's absolutely spectacular. I know, and it totally proves to me that this is all extraterrestrial. We don't have any kind of technology that can go this kind of fast. I was like literally torn out of my shoes when I saw this.
We can literally allow ourselves to play in a game of higher learning and joy, or we can stay behind and decimate ourselves with a new global world order under the dictates of people that have very, very nefarious plans.
Selfish, yeah, they're mean people.
Global world order, hey, I don't mind. I mean, I'm a unifying guy.
Right.
I love unity in all its aspects. But it, you know, like I was saying to a friend of mine, I don't care if it's a dictator, a socialistic government. I don't care if it's communism, capitalism, democracy. You know, folks, tell you, to be quite honest, I guess it depends on the people who are running it. It's like being handed the gun. I'll tell you what, the gun isn't guilty. Okay? It's not the physical form that's guilty. You're not born a sin. It's not the form, the form that's guilty. Again, it always comes down to, it's a spiritual matter, because all matter is.
It's the consciousness.
Right. Bingo.
And this is what my alien friends have told me. They told me that our consciousness needs, if we want to have contact, we want to make alliances with alien races, they are waiting for us. They want this to happen. They want to help us.
More than we do.
That's right.
More than we do.
They long. They know that we're enslaved down here. They know that we're being exploited by those that have, like you say, have nefarious minds and plans. They know this, and they want to help us, but they're waiting for us. And they're waiting, and what they want us to know is that the way we can defeat these people, these other people that are trying to enslave us,
is to stand together.
Is stand together, and also we need to get absolutely serious about where we put our attention and who we give our allegiance to. And they want us to know that we need to absolutely surrender to the divine, to the superior, sense that is born of the spirit, born of eternity, born of that breath of life that's placed in every human being that's created in God's image in the original beginning. And that is what is going to give us victory over these murderous people, these selfish, ignominious people that want to exploit the whole world, rape it and get us to worship them in the process. They actually want us to worship them for their knowledge and their power.
Yeah, when they keep you ignorant.
Oh, yeah.
You know, release your...
They don't deserve it.
Exactly. You know, again, it's Planet of the Apes. But I don't want to go into that here. I talk too much about that on the TNT Hour. But
They want to wipe out, like... So I heard it in some of their protocols that they want to wipe out a certain amount of people on the Earth through...
Well, of course, of course. You know, if you can't join them... Beat them. Right?
So
eliminate them.
That's the good news, though. The good news is our alien friends love us, and my contacts, every time I go back to Pine Bush and I have these contacts, it is a love affair. It is like a marriage. It is true love, and I don't mean this in any kind of sexual way. I'm talking about something that is so, you know what I'm saying.
I absolutely do. It feels sexual. It feels sexual only because it's such a heightened a sense that it feels all things.
But
I don't know if I'm wrong here, but I tend to feel I'm correct. In a way, it does.
Maybe a little bit.
In a way.
I would say this. It's a purifying touch of the affections.
It is.
Of like a mother for its child that's lost.
It's intimate.
Yes.
It's intimate.
It is so wonderful.
Yes, it is.
It is so grand. It is something that we have been, these manipulators, these draconian forces, unseen forces that rule the human race, have wanted to shut us out from. And they divide all of humanity. They set up all kinds of paradigms within humanity where they can slay, make humanity turn against another and turn against these grand and noble aspirations of the soul and the spirit. They kill.
I loved having you on the show, but we only have 3 minutes to get a beautiful show up next, which is a fireside chat with the Zany Mystic. But stick around. Don't go anywhere. When?
Yes, son.
We normally close out, folks, this show with a calling in the light, and nobody does that better than Wynn. And Phil, if you'll join us.
Absolutely.
In Wynn, please.
Father, Mother, God, this is our group energy, group intention for upliftment and of this planet during this next period. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our universe through the center of our galaxy, through our bodies, and into the earth. And right now, those of us who free willingly choose, we create a group energy by our intention. We merge the parts of ourselves that are outside of this realm, and we invite those positive service to other intelligences and consciousnesses operating in the Christ of energy to join with us.
Mm.
And we send right now a prayer of peace and light to around our entire planet and to each of you who is listening tonight. Thank you. This is another week of the Don and Wynn Show. God bless you all.
Wynn, thank you. That was beautiful as always. Phil?
Thank you, yes.
Thank you for being on the show. We'd love to have you again. I mean, what an interview. Honestly, we would love to have you back again, only because I think there is so much more to the story and so much more coming.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it. It was a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. Wynn? I think my co-host's off the air. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back with Fireside Chat, Zany Mystic. You know that's my favorite show. I mean, if I got to pick a favorite show, then it's got to be the one following me, doesn't it? We'll be right back.
I love you.